This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. I hope you're ready to continue the party as the Crescent City puts on quite a show with Mardi Gras parades and Super Bowl 47 taking center stage in a city that knows the art of the party. New Orleans is exploding with energy and pride as the eyes of the world are upon us, and rightly so. At a recent press conference, the mayor found it hard to contain his excitement. WWNO's Eileen Fleming filed this report.
Amid scaffolding that's erected around Jackson Square, Mayor Landrieu made this announcement.
I'm here to tell you that we are Super Bowl ready.
The mayor says visitors are starting to arrive ahead of the big game in time to enjoy some Mardi Gras events. Hundreds of thousands more are expected, and crowds will continue coming to visit the city after the Super Bowl is over. Jazz Fest, the PGA Zurich Classic, and Essence Festival will be held in the coming months.
That is an extraordinary run of events for a city that 7 years ago was 15 feet underwater and the last on every list in America that mattered.
Meantime, Landrieu says residents should expect some inconvenience during the next 3 weeks. Traffic will be rough at times. Trash may pile up.
Be nice, be courteous, use common sense, and be respectful, and the rest of it will take care of itself.
Traffic closures and other updates will be posted throughout the coming weeks on NOLA.gov/Super Bowl. For WWNO, I'm Eileen Fleming.
The countdown is on as the Baltimore Ravens and San Francisco 49ers vie to become champions of Super Bowl 47 when they face off in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Sunday. Parties are in full swing, including one tomorrow night where you can hobnob with some of the biggest names in the TV, sports, and entertainment industries. It's Fox Sports' Jay Glazer's 6th annual Super Bowl party red carpet event with Moves Magazine. Local spokesman Steve Shulkins joins us by phone for a sneak peek at this star-studded event. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Diane. Thank you for having me.
They are rolling out the red carpet in the Warehouse District tomorrow night. Tell me, what can we expect at this extravagant star-laced Super Bowl party?
Well, this is one of the hottest events that's going to be available to the public here in New Orleans to rub shoulders with some of the biggest VIPs in town, some of the sports celebrities, as well as some of the media stars that will be in New Orleans. This is the 6th annual Jay Glazer Super Bowl party, and it is Wednesday from 9 p.m. until 3 a.m. It's a late nighter, and it's at the Metropolitan Nightclub and Generations Hall in the Warehouse District. And tickets are available for the general public so that they can hobnob with some of these stars that are in town.
So tell me, Steve, who is likely to be seen walking the red carpet?
Well, we've got some names. We just got a release of a list of people who have actually RSVP'd that would be there. And some of these are some of the biggest names in the sports industry. Among them, Ahmad Bradshaw, Tony Dorsett, Arian Foster, Brian Westbrook, Clinton Portis, Curtis Lofton, Darnell Dockett, Donovan McNabb, Jonathan Vilma, and the list goes on and on and on. There are literally hundreds of VIPs that are going to be there. In addition to the NFL stars, we're going to have a slew of media celebrities, including Access Hollywood, TMZ, Entertainment Tonight, NFL Network, several of the networks, ESPN, NBC. So you'll see a whole bunch of different stars from the sports world and the media entertainment industry.
So how did this event come about some 6 years ago?
Well, the history of it is that Jay wanted to get out and do one of the very, very first parties of the week to kick off the week. And it quickly became one of the hottest parties in town. In fact, the New York Post called it one of the hottest shindigs of the whole Super Bowl week. 3,000-4,000 people. In fact, they're bringing in a celebrity DJ from New York who is going to entertain the host and the guest all night long. And it was just a place to be and to be seen. And DJ Scram Jones. Jones is a Grammy-nominated producer who's worked with Mariah Carey and 50 Cent. And he will entertain the guests all night long as a celebrity DJ. And it's really just one of the hottest parties that they've been having for the past 6 years.
Now, this is being done in conjunction with Moves Magazine, and it's not a household name for a magazine. Can you tell us more about the publication?
Moves Magazine has a very niche readership. Moves Magazine is an exclusive magazine. They print about 50,000 copies a month, but it only goes to NFL stars, coaches, agents. I was looking at some of the demographics, and the average reader's annual income is $1.8 million a year and has four or five cars. Moves Magazine's real mission, though, is to interact with some of their readers as far as dealing with things like constant travel, investments, charities that these NFL stars have to constantly pick that they're doing good deeds for. It basically is a lifestyle magazine for those who are in the NFL or actually for all sports, the boxers, professional, any professional sports player. So Moves Magazine is a very eclectic magazine with a very niche readership.
Now, this is open to the general public. How do we get tickets?
Well, it's very easy. All you do is go online to themetropolitannightclub.com, themetropolitannightclub.com, and that's, of course, where the venue where this big event will be held this Wednesday night, tomorrow night. And the Metropolitan Nightclub, again, is www.themetropolitannightclub.com. And you can just get tickets online and do all your filing there online very easily.
Now, can you also just walk up and get tickets at the door?
Yeah, I believe, yeah, there'll be tickets available to the public at the door. And again, the event doesn't start until 9 p.m., and it goes, though it's an all-nighter, it goes till 3 a.m., so there will be a lot of partying going on in the Warehouse District at the Metropolitan Nightclub come tomorrow night.
All right, I think the city is ready. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Diane.
Steve Shulkins is the local spokesman for Jay Glazer's star-studded Super Bowl party, which takes place tomorrow at the New Orleans Metropolitan Nightclub, 310 Andrew Higgins Avenue, in the Warehouse District, beginning at 9 p.m. You must be 21 and over to attend. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm Diane Mack.
When I was a little girl, my father said, "Your name is very important and always be proud of your name. Prima means first, prima means best, and be proud of that."
That little girl took those words to heart. And today, in the French Quarter at the Hotel Monteleone's Carousel Bar, you'll find jazz vocalist Lena Prima, daughter of legendary singer, trumpeter, and New Orleans native Louis Prima, kicking it in high gear as she performs original songs and those of her famous father.
Well, in 1956, that's when my dad had his big hit, Sing Along. Just a gigolo,
gigolo.
Everywhere I go,
gigolo.
People
gigolo.
Know the part I'm playing,
gigolo, gigolo, gigolo.
Paying for every dance,
gigolo.
Selling each romance,
gigolo. Gigolo.
Oh, what
gigolo.
They're saying
gigolo, gigolo, gigolo.
Lena Prima followed a strong calling to return to New Orleans, not for a visit, but to live here and rediscover her Prima roots.
I was very emotional about it, too. It was confusing to me, even. Why was I so emotional about wanting to live here? So I just went with it. Sold my house, sold everything, got in a truck and moved. And I'm so glad because I'm so happy every day. It's the best thing I ever did.
That was 13 months ago. A big move, as Lena was living in Las Vegas and had not lived in New Orleans since she was 10. Now, at age 49, she finds her father's hometown fertile ground for her creative endeavors. She has a new CD in the making and has released only the title cut, Come On Back to New Orleans.
When the sun comes up but you can't feel it, when the leaves turn green but you don't see it, when the air is fresh but you can't breathe it, come on back to New Orleans. If you need a friendly wave while you're driving, if the music you hear just ain't jiving,
that Lena would sing was a given. Born into a showbiz family, her mother is singer Gia Mione. She both honors her family and has found a voice of her own.
Well, I was doing a tribute to my dad. I put that together in the year 2000, a show called Louis Prima, That's My Dad, which I performed all over the country for many years and still do it whenever there's an opportunity to. I love to honor my father. But people were asking me, when is your own music going to come out? What do you do? And I thought, gosh, what do I do? So I put a little jazz band together and started playing in out-of-the-way places to try to find out what do I like to sing and, what does my voice sound like on my own. And that's where the Since the Storm album came from, that experience.
Since the Storm is her current CD, and Lena's desire to bring joy to your heart and a smile to your face through song is evident on this original cut from the CD, Silly in the Middle.
Mornings have never seemed so bright. Answers have never seemed so right. Cuddles have never seemed so tight. I get silly in the middle when I wiggle and I giggle with you.
Well, that song is about that feeling you have when you're first falling in love and you're happy and giggly and you lose weight, you only want chocolate, you buy new perfume, your clothes, your friends can't stand you.
Lena's talent goes beyond song. She is a gifted artist with a series of drawings.
And I'm really inspired by people and expressions on people's faces and just interesting people. So I do fine art. It's charcoal, pencil, watercolor, some acrylic, some collage. But I use, if you ever seen that movie Pleasantville, where it's some of it's in black and white, some of it's in color, that's what my artwork looks like, because I really like to have the black and white out of the past kind of feeling mixed with the color into the future.
And her creativity doesn't end there. She is also a jewelry artist.
I have a Pennies from Heaven line of jewelry that's a little bracelet. My father sang Pennies from Heaven to me when I was a little girl. And then after he had passed away, I started to find pennies whenever I needed a boost. And I really felt like he was leaving them for me at certain times to lift my spirits. So I started to tell that story on stage. People were telling me similar stories about loved ones that they had lost and they were finding pennies. So I created the bracelet. It's got a tiny little penny on it. I change it every year. Sometimes I do a spring or summer bracelet and a holiday bracelet. But the portions of the proceeds go to the Musicians Clinic and to help musicians in need in New Orleans. They're made with semi-precious stone beads. So I've got agate and jade and riverstone and sodalite, all different colors, hematite, black onyx, and they're all beaded. They have Swarovski crystals, genuine Swarovskis, and other beads are platinum plated. There's a butterfly on there because the butterfly symbolizes souls that have passed on as well. And there's a little penny, there's a fleur-de-lis for New Orleans, and there's a little heart that says Pennies from Heaven and Lena Prima on the other side.
The multi-talented Lena Prima makes her mark on her father's turf as she proudly calls the Crescent City her home. Lena was recently honored with the Prima Arts and Entertainment Award, her first award bearing her dad's name. Lena Prima performs Saturday and Sunday nights at the Hotel Monteleone Carousel Bar in the French Quarter from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. You can see Lena Prima's art, jewelry, and hear a full-length version of Come On Back to New Orleans at lenaprimamusic.com. As Mardi Gras, the Super Bowl, great food, and music attract crowds to New Orleans, there is another element that attracts visitors that cannot be overlooked, our architecture. WWNO's Fred Kasten, who produces The Sound of Books, talks with Tulane architecture professor John Klingman about his latest work, New in New Orleans Architecture.
John Klingman grew up drawing.
From the time I was a little boy, I was always drawing, always thinking about it. And I've noticed with our students, it's the same kind of proclivity. So it's an interesting way to kind of think about entering a profession, perhaps, at least as in my case, before you had any idea what an architect was or what an architect did.
The impact of architects and architecture, though, hit John Klingman early on at his elementary school just outside Philadelphia.
That building was probably the reason that I became an architect. It was a fabulously designed building, probably the first one I spent a lot of time in outside of the home. One of those great modernist 1950s schools that were done all over the United States, single story, lots of glass, natural ventilation, beautiful daylight, just a wonderful place to inhabit.
John Klingman studied civil engineering at Tufts, then sandwiched 8 years at a Boston architectural firm between graduate school stints at Stanford and the University of Oregon. He came to New Orleans in 1983 to teach architecture at Tulane University.
And I think it's probably the best place in the U.S. to teach people about architecture because of the incredibly strong history and the environmental constraints that we're subject to. And you can see how people have dealt with this manifested from the late 18th century until 2012.
Contemporary architects in New Orleans have to come to terms with the city's large number of historically significant structures.
There are a couple of ways that architects address that. One way, which I don't think is particularly positive, is to try to emulate or copy elements of historic architecture. Another way is to simply ignore historic architecture and say it's a new time and therefore new buildings should be absolutely independent of the past. And the third way, which is really the one I'm most interested in and the one in which many projects in the book demonstrate, is for buildings to have an empathy, a kind of sympathy, and a kind of relationship in facade or scale or environmental treatment or size of openings. There are many different ways it can be done, but to have some sort of relationship with neighboring buildings or with the idea of appropriate architecture for New Orleans.
John Klingman was and is always on the lookout for interesting new Crescent City structures to show his students, but wasn't finding much innovative work for them to tour through the 1980s. In the 90s, though, prospects started getting much better as New Orleans joined Amsterdam, San Francisco, Barcelona, and other cities around the world in developing numerous new buildings with intriguing designs. In 1997, Klingman started formally documenting his favorite projects for New Orleans Magazine's annual Best New Architecture article. He selected 80 structures built or redesigned in the last 15 years to detail in new in New Orleans architecture.
We're renowned for our music, worldwide actually. We're also renowned for our cuisine worldwide. And then people always mention New Orleans architecture, but they are always thinking of simply historic architecture. So part of the book's purpose is to say that we now have a critical mass of new buildings that show this attitude toward the future, but also an empathy with the past. In the last 15 years, architects have really produced some exceptional work, and I thought it was valuable to get it out in front of the public.
New Orleans architecture describes and richly illustrates with hundreds of color photographs buildings in four categories: office and commercial, schools and universities, institutions, and residences.
These new buildings are not concentrated in one part of town, and so there's an index by neighborhood in the back of the book, and there are exemplary contemporary buildings in Marigny and Uptown and in Metairie and in the West Bank, St. Bernard Parish, and in Central City and in Mid-City, in City Park. So they're really all over the place, and I think that's another reason that it's been really fun to put the book together and combine them all in one volume.
Registered architect and Tulane University architecture professor John P. Klingman, author of the handsome and informative new volume, New in New Orleans Architecture. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.
And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Loyola University Professor of Video Technology, Jim Gabor, returns to present Treme's Underground Carnival, Baby Dolls and Skeletons. The presentation highlights the deep subculture of some of Treme's most renowned carnival groups. The forum will feature special guests, including filmmaker Royce Osborne of the Downtown Skeletons and acclaimed musician Bruce Sunpie Barnes of the Northside Skull and Bones Gang. Also in attendance will be Melissa White, a representative of the New Orleans Society of Dance, that is co-producing the current Louisiana State Museum exhibit, They Call Me Baby Doll, 100 Years of a Masking Tradition and Way of Life, on display in the Presbyter. The event is free and open to the public. It will take place in Nunnemaker Auditorium in Monroe Hall at Loyola University, Monday, February 4th at 5 p.m. The crew of Orpheus is celebrating their 20th anniversary and announces a surprise bonus to their 2013 lineup with the addition of America's Got Talent host Nick Cannon and entertainer Jay Thomas. The parade rolls on the eve of Mardi Gras, Monday, February 11th. And speaking of Lagniappe, the City of New Orleans is offering a free trip back contest to visitors flying out of New Orleans after the Super Bowl. According to the New Orleans Tourism Marketing Corporation, 50,000 thank you postcards will be handed out by New Orleans Host Committee ambassadors to fans and visitors heading home following Super Bowl 47. One side of the card will be a heartfelt thank you letter from Mayor Mitch Landrieu for visiting New Orleans. The other side will offer an opportunity for a free trip back to New Orleans, compliments of New Orleans Tourism Marketing Corporation and Lowe's New Orleans Hotel. The 50,000 contest entry cards will be distributed Sunday and Monday, February 3rd and 4th at Louis Armstrong Airport and on Monday at Lakefront Airport. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.